We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, titled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, verse number 29. Saeva Godhanam Lakshmiya Niketam Sitago Vrisham Charayan Anugan Gopan Ranat Venur Ariramat Saha. He, Lord Krishna, Eva, certainly, Godhanam, the treasure of cows, Lakshmiaha, by opulence, Niketam, reservoir, Sita Govrisham, beautiful cows and bulls, Charayan, herding, Anugan, the followers, Gopan, cowherd boys, Ranat, blowing, Venuhu, flute, Ari Ramat, enlivened. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As he grew to 6 and 7 years old, the Lord was given charge of looking after the cows and bulls in the grazing grounds. He was the son of a well-to-do landholder who owned hundreds and thousands of cows, and according to Vedic economics, one is considered to be a rich man by the strength of his store of grains and cows. With only these two things, cows and grains, humanity can solve its eating problems. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by man to kill his valuable life at the human level and waste his time in things which are not needed. Lord Krishna, as a teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that the mercantile community or the Vaishyas should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. According to Smriti regulation, the cow is the mother and the bull the father of human being. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of human society because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. It is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ash, etc. And because of their colors and healthy smiling features, the atmosphere was enlivening. Over and above all, the Lord used to play his celebrated flute. The sound vibrated by the flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all the talks of the Brahmananda, which is so praised by the impersonalists. These cowherd boys, as will be explained by Sukadev Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and thus were enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. The Brahma Samhita 5.30 confirms the Lord's blowing his transcendental flute. Venum konanda maravinda dalayataksham barhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpakodi kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadipurisham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji said, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like the lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his body colors resembles a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. These are the special features of the Lord. O ओम ज्ञान तिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। भूतैर्महाधीर्य इमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुंक्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोलंकृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे। हरे कृष्ण। This is a very powerful purport by Srila Prabhupada. This purport is defining what is the real economic progress and what has gone wrong in the current human civilization. The Vedic human civilization is based upon Varnashram Dharma, where Brahmanas are the head of the society, and when there is head of the society, that head can train the rest of the society. So this is the essential principle. So Srila Prabhupada gave emphasis in creating Brahmanas in the current world. If Brahmanas are there, they can train Kshatriyas, they can train other Brahmanas, they can train Vaishyas, and they can train Shudras. So by doing so, they don't lose their Brahminical qualification. Sometimes it is misconstrued that by teaching Shudras how to be a Shudra, a Brahmana is of a low grade. And if a Brahmana is training a Brahmana in Brahminical qualities, then he is a higher, superior Brahmana. That is a misconception. Rather, a Brahmana is ready to train, according to his skills, anyone, any part of the society. So, since the Brahminical class has fallen down in the age of Kali, rest of the society has also fallen down. So, there are no real Brahmanas, there are no real Kshatriyas, there are no real Vaishyas or Shudras. So this is the pathetic plight of this current society. Now, if we look upon the Vedic society, when the Pandavas had their new kingdom set aside by Duryodhan, and which was Indraprastha, it was a barren land. Hardly there was anything. So, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, everything was manifested. So when they had their kingdom manifested, and when they had the strong Kshatriya rulers, then that attracted Vaishyas, that attracted Brahmanas, that attracted other classes of men, and Shudras as well. So if somebody is ready to establish the Brahminical culture, then all other society, all other limbs of the society will fall into place. So they actually proved that just by establishing a Brahminical culture, all others got attracted and the economy got developed in Indraprastha, which was a barren land. So we know they got the rain and they got the animals. So, as it is mentioned in this purport, the Vedic culture is based on two things, grains and cows. So basically it is based on cow protection. It's an agrarian society. Now, if you think how they used to work, Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very simple statement but very profound. Prabhupada says, you cannot eat nuts and bolts. You need food to eat. And we are far away from the reality because the current society is disconnected from the source of production. Many people do not know where the food is coming from, how it is being grown. The only connection to food is what one eats and also connection to the supermarket, the local supplier. So there is a disjunction between the usage and the production. So people lost this simple principle that the food is coming from the earth. Earth has to be treated properly and animals have to be treated properly. So it became a fashion sometimes that, you know, being, you know, animal activist, it's a fashion for some people. So why? Because people lost that connection. So Srila Prabhupada is basically establishing our connection to the nature and giving the understanding that we cannot live without properly taking care of nature in the form of the plants and the earth and also basically the cows. Because cow is one of the mother, as explained here, because cow is giving milk. And how is it, how logical it is that after getting the milk and a cow cannot give milk and then give to slaughterhouse. It's a common practice, many parts of India too. What to speak about West. In India too, it's a common practice. When the cow stops giving milk, then they sell the cow to people who are collecting these cows and sending them to slaughterhouses. So this is a common practice throughout. So how is it possible to have peace in the society when we are enforcing so much of violence on animals? That's why Praja, by definition, includes animals. It is not just humans. So we can see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maharaj Parikshit, when he encountered a Shudra, practically dressed up as a king, beating up a bull, he was ready to kill. And he took out his sword. So this shows he was ready for cow protection. Because he accepted them as part of his praja, as of his subjects. So this is the real human society. Real human society means we take care of not just the human beings, which is not happening anyway, and also animals, and also plants, and also Mother Earth. So this is real human society. So now we can see there is a complete disconnection and there is a havoc in all respects. If we consider all these aspects, there is a havoc in the society in all respects. Consider the earth. What about our habitat? It is being badly affected. And if we continue, it's a matter of few decades, this is going to be an irreversible problem. We cannot go back. So this is the situation with the earth. Consider the air. Have we spared the air to breathe? At least we are not selling air here, at least at this point of time. But I heard there are places, I think in Japan, some places they are selling air, fresh oxygen. Eh? Yeah, exactly. Actually speaking, we are also in that path. Say, for example, if we live in some city, for example, in Bombay, if you go to Bombay and one devotee, senior devotee, he flew from Bombay to here, to Melbourne, and then after we took him to a kind of a retreat center, not a retreat center, you know, to recuperate a place. So he was telling, he went to our tent, he started breathing and told, now I can actually breathe some fresh air after a month. So we are also in the same path. We don't have fresh air many parts of the world. Even China, heavily affected. Chinese government, they made a very interesting statement that they admitted that they had spoiled their soil. Interesting enough. soil, right? They have spoiled. It is full of different kinds of chemicals. They admitted. And so their confession was like this. So since they had already spoiled the soil, so they cannot expect quality food. So they cannot expect quality brain. So this was their conclusion. So earth is definitely affected. So food is affected, earth is affected, and the quality of the human beings are also affected. And water is affected, air is affected. So what is left? And how about cows? They are being slaughtered like anything. And how about the economy? Economy is changing all the time because it's a false economy. Why is it a false economy? It's a false economy because the currencies are false. The papers or the plastic that we are using, it is false. Initially, the system was when the, okay, forget the bottle system, when the recent economy developed, the current kind of the modern economy developed, the original system was that to have value to the currency, they need to have so much of gold in store. Right? So the equivalent of gold has to be in store in a country so that much amount of currency they could produce. So they can check the inflation, and also there is something reserved to match the currency which they are producing. But that is gone long back. So it is not possible to print so much of currencies and having so much of gold reserve. It is practically impossible. So there is so much of inflation, and as the supply-demand chain fluctuates, the economy fluctuates very rapidly, and many people get heart attacks and they die. You know, the stock exchange, the stocks are going up and down, and people are getting heart attack, and the heart rates are also going up and down, and people die. So, which is a very common thing in this world. So, this is the current state of affair of the economy. So, previously it was very simple. Proverbs says, "You want to eat? Okay, grain is there. What's the big deal? If you have grain, you can eat." So it is an agrarian society. And you want milk? There are cows. So no problem. So there are milk and there are enough grains, there are enough vegetables, so everyone used to be happy. Now people are not happy. You know, this is the real manifestation of Kali Yuga. Hi Ubadritaha. The last line is very interesting. Last phrase is very interesting. You know, manda, manda, sumadeva, manda, bhagya. The last phrase, hi ubadrutaha, indeed ubadrutaha, indeed disturbed always. So this is a Kali Yuga resident at this point of time. Now, Prabhupada presents this, and we need to seriously think as a society how to act on behalf of Srila Prabhupada in this regard. It's a big challenge, even ISKCON as a society, it is not so easy to develop farm communities, to give cow protection. There are projects here, there, but it is not so easy. Because even preaching is not, you know, it's not even picking up so much in the Western world. So if we don't have sufficient devotees, then how to have enough devotees to actually do cow protection? So you know, situation is not very bright. And GBC kind of made a resolution that in the lectures, one should speak about Varnashram Dharma. It's a part of the theme. You know, when we give Bhagavatam classes, one of the themes should be Varnashram Dharma. So I remember Bhakti Raghava Maharaj, I think 2 years back, during the GBC meeting times, he gave a lecture completely on cow protection and Varnashram Dharma. So Maharaj is trying to, establish Varnashram societies in some region in Asia. So that is the state of affair, that we don't have a completely functional society in terms of Varnashram. Ashram is kind of okay. To some degree, ashram rules and ashram following is there, which is good. But the Varna part is quite lacking. So it's an effort. There is no straightforward solution to it. It's a big problem. It's not like, you know, you can solve like this. It's not possible. Because we are actually kind of revolting against the current society. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. He wanted farm communities which are kind of unaffected by the economic fluctuations of the outside world. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So in the time of need, the whole world can look upon ISKCON as a savior, because there is an economic model which is based on grain and cows. And so when there is a whole thing is in a devastation, everyone can actually take shelter of these kind of farm communities or take that model and implement. And in fact, we are lagging very much in this affair, even though this was the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We are lagging. So this is one of the important mission to accomplish for ISKCON devotees in general. So some communities, they have protected cow's milk because they have cows, so they have ample supply of milk. Some communities, they have made some arrangement with local farmers, and the devotees are ready to pay extra money so that some cows are kept protected and they won't be killed even after the milk production is finished. So some devotees have made such kind of arrangement. So it is very important to move in that direction, to give cow protection. So we can see in the farm, slowly the project is starting. So now there are few cows, and there's a go puja coming soon. So this is actually the human society where cow is respected and worshipped. So it is good to see that, you know, we are slowly at least moving in that direction. Now here we can see Krishna is the protector of the cows. He is the Gopal. He is Govinda. So Krishna is acting and he is taking pleasure looking after cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a cowherd boy and he is looking after cows. And as is mentioned in this verse, while herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. So here, we can see in the Vrindavan, what is the opulence of Vrindavan? It's a very interesting point. What is the opulence of Vrindavan? It's mentioned, Vrindavane vrajadhanam nanukamadhenu vrindani chedi sukasindiradho aho vibhuti. Vrindavane vrajadhanam nanukamadhenu. In Vrindavan, vrajadhanam, the wealth of Vrindavan is kamadhenu. Is the kamadhenu, the desire fulfilling cows. That is the wealth of Vrindavan. It reminds me of a pastime in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, where after Rathayatra, Mahaprabhu was along with his associates just opposite to Gundicha Mandir. So Lord Jagannath, after the Rathayatra, he looked at Viprashasan, the residence of Brahmanas, and he looked at the gardens where Gundicha temple is there. So there he saw Vrindavan, seeing the beautiful garden. And he decided, okay, now I have to get off from the chariot and I have to reside in the Gundicha Mandir. So understanding the desire of the Supreme Lord, the devotees took Lord Jagannath to Gundicha Mandir. And the Supreme Lord Chaitanya, along with his associates, went to a garden nearby and they started sitting there. And in there, Srivas Thakur started commenting to Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So Srivas Thakur said, so this was just after, they sat, and next time, I think there was a Hera Panchami where Lakshmi Devi was very opulently decorated and she was also taken out from the Jagannath Mandir. So seeing all the opulence of Lakshmi Devi and the opulence of Vaikuntha and Dwaraka, Srivas Thakur mentioned in a challenging way to Gadadhar Pandit, that what is the opulence of Vrindavan? See our Lakshmi. She has so many different varieties of jewels and so many different varieties of garlands. And she is looking so opulent. But what is the actual opulence of Vrindavan? So then, Srivast Thakur, he actually quoted this verse. He said, Chintamani charana bhushana manganana shringara pushpa tarava tarava surana vrindavane vrajadhanam nanu kamadhenu vrindani cheti sukhasindhura ho vibhuti. He said, the opulence of Vrindavan is, if you are considering about the opulence of Lakshmi Devi and the residence of Vaikuntha, understand, there the ankle bells of the gopis are made of chintamani. And the flowers are more opulent than the Parijada flowers, which is there even in Dwaraka. And if you speak about the real wealth of Vrindavan, that is Vrindani Cheti Sukhasindhuraho Vibhuti. And the real wealth of Vrindavan is Godhanam. It is the cows. So this is the opulence of Vrindavan. So if you really want to know what is the real opulence of Vrindavan, that is cows. So if you say the real Vedic human society is based on cow protection, it makes a lot of sense. Because that is the opulence of Vrindavan. So Krishna is always playing on his flute to attract his devotees. And here the Pauganda Leela is described, where Krishna is playing with his cowherd boys. So Krishna has different flutes and Krishna has different notes to play upon his flute. And when he plays different notes, different devotees are attracted. So here Krishna is playing flute to attract the cowherd boys and also to attract cows. And Krishna could call everyone by name, even the cows. Krishna knew the names of each and every cows. He could just call them and he could count them. He had a counter beads to count the number of cows. So he would call one cow's name and he'll call one, and like that. He had counter beats for that. So this is the opulence of Vrindavan, where Krishna, he's playing his pastimes with the cows, the bulls, cows, and the cowherd boys. And who are these cowherd boys? This is mentioned, Sukadev Goswami. Here it's mentioned. The cowherd boys, as will be explained by Sukadeva Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and thus were enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. So Sukadeva Goswami explains this point in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami beautifully narrates the interactions between Krishna and his cowherd boys. In the morning, Krishna plays on his bugle and all the cowherd boys started moving towards Krishna along with their herd of cows. So everyone had their herd of cows and Krishna had his own, and all of them assembled in front of the house of Nanda Maharaj. And it was just like an ocean of cows. Some are black, some are marked, some are white. And all of them started moving towards the forest of Vrindavan. There, Sukadeva Goswami mentions that as they were going, the cowherd boys, the gopas, started playing different games with Krishna. Some of them would run behind Krishna. And the competition was that who would touch Krishna first. So this was Krishna touch game. So they were running behind Krishna and Krishna was also running. And they all wanted to touch Krishna. And as it is mentioned, some of them would jump on the big trees. Some of them would look into a barren well and make different sounds. And when they hear the echo from those wells, they would just curse that. And some of them would jump like frogs. Some of them would follow the shadow of the shadow of birds. So it was just a game in Vrindavan, in the forest of Vrindavan. And the cows, they were just roaming around, enjoying the pastures of Vrindavan. So this is the daily affair of Pagonda Leela, where Krishna is enjoying pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends. So Shikode Goswami further explains the picnic pastime in which they were having their lunch together. So there is a beautiful description. Biphrad venum jadhara padayo shringa vetre chakakshe vame pano vrishana kavalam tat phalanyangulishu tishan madhye sabari suhrdo hasayan narma bhiswai sarge loke mishati bhuje yajna bhuk balakeli. So this is speaking about the Supreme Lord, who is always accepting the offerings of all the demigods and all the great sages and all great kings and all pious living entities, who is Yajna Bhuk, since he enjoys and he is the beneficiary of all the yagyas, he is known as Yajna Bhuk. But now this Yajna Bhuk is just acting as a cowherd boy, Balakeli. He is just performing Balakeli. He is just performing just a cowherd. He is just acting as a cowherd boy. And how he does so? He is just sitting along with his cowherd boyfriends in a circle. And it looked like a lotus flower, just like we have a lotus flower here on this marble. So in the middle of the lotus flower, Krishna is sitting, and all around, all the cowherd boys are sitting. And Krishna had his flute. Now it is tucked under his belt. He had his bugle, which is also tucked in his belt. And he had his cowherding stick. So these are his instruments. Biphrad venum jadhara padayo shringa vetre jakakshe. Then vame pano mrishana kavalam. And in his left hand? Mrishana kavalam. He had yogurt rice and some pickle and some fruits in between the fingers. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead acting as a cowherd boy. These are the things he's eating. He's eating rice with just yogurt and pickle and some fruits in between. Mrishana kavalam tat phalanyanguleshu, and also fruits. Tishtan madhye sabari suhrdo hasayan narma bhisoy. And he's sitting along with all his cowherd boys, and Krishna is cracking jokes. Hasayan narma bhisoy. Hasayan, the word hasayan means just laughing loudly. It's not smiling, you know, mandahasam, you know. Many places Krishna is described as mukhamja, very smita, it is manda smita, you know, just light smile. We can see Radhavalva, light smile. But no, with his cowherd boys, he is hasayan narma bhisoy. Narma means jokes. He's just cracking jokes, and they are just laughing. So seeing this, actually Brahma got bewildered. Seeing this, this scene was quite unfathomable for Brahma, because he's a Yajna Bhuk. He's supposed to accept all the offerings from even the demigods, and he's just acting as a cowherd boy. Seeing this, Lord Brahma got bewildered. So this is the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who are these cowherd boys playing with Krishna? As it will be described by Shukadeva Goswami. In this section, Shukadeva Goswami actually explains. Itham satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shrutanam naragdarakena sakam vijahru krita punya punjaha. The Supreme Lord has many facets to him. One is itham satam brahma sukhana bhutya. That is, for the even the yogis and even for the jnanis, he's manifested as Brahma Jyoti, and they enjoy Brahmananda. So idham satam brahma sukhani bhutya, and dasyam gadanam paradevatena, and those who has accepted the Supreme Lord as their master and themselves as just servitors, for them dasyam gadanam paradevatena, the Lord acted as paradeva, the Lord of Vaikuntha, as Narayan. And maya shritanam naradarakena, and for those who accepted the Supreme Lord as just maya, they saw the Supreme Lord as just a boy, just a nara. They couldn't accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. They could see only him as just an ordinary boy. So that is maya shritanam naradarakena. So according to perception, they are getting different reciprocation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like if we see the Lord in the form of Murti as stone, the Lord reciprocates as a stone. That's all. So that is Mayashritanam Naradharakena and Sakam Vijahru Krita Punya Punjaha. And Krita Punya Punjaha, Krita Punya Punjaha means those who have accumulated so much of devotional piety. So they are these cowherd boys. They Sakam Vijahru. They just enjoy it like anything. So this is the great good fortune of the cowherd boys. And also all residents of Vrindavan. So even Mahaprabhu cited this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nandagopa Prajogaso. Yen Mitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. Aho Bhagyam, look at the good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, two times it is mentioned. Nandagopa Vrajogaso, see the good fortune of Nandagopa, see the good fortune of Nanda Maharaj, and Vrajogaso, and all the residents of Vrindavan. Because Yen Mitram, his friend, or his very dear intimate associate, is Krishna, who is that Purna Brahma Sanatanam. He is the complete Brahman, and he is the eternal complete Brahman, has taken shelter of Vrindavan and has become the intimate associates of Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan. So a devotee prays that, I don't want anything, but I just want to worship Nanda Maharaj, because in his courtyard the Supreme Lord is crawling and performing his crawling pastimes. So this is the glory of Vrindavan. And as it is mentioned, as a final sentence, that these are the special features of the Lord. So the Lord is the most beautiful person. So even in the beginning of this remembrance of Uddhava, he makes this point, Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. The Lord is the ornament of his own ornaments. So none can actually, no ornaments can beautify the Lord, but the ornaments are being beautified by the beauty of the Lord. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord, and this is a special feature of the Supreme Lord. So it's a good opportunity for us to hear about that Supreme Lord. It's a good opportunity for us to chant his names. It's a good opportunity for us to hear about him. It's a very good opportunity to see them. It's the best opportunity for us to serve them. So we are in the right place at the right time. We have everything set in the perfect way. Everything is there. We can hear so much of glories of the Lord. Bhagavatam is there. We have the deities are there. So much of service is there. So we are in the right, in an opportune moment. So we had to make use of this. So I stop here. See if there are any comments or questions. Okay, a few questions. Yes, Dhira Prabhu. Yes, yeah. First, we have to convince ourselves. That's the problem. If we are convinced, then we can convince others. If we are convinced and we are ready to live without mechanization, and Prabhupada never appreciated having lazy bulls. He said they had to be used, they must be tilling the land. And cows for milking and bulls must work hard. So that way the system would work. So different devotees are trying different things. Some devotees considering producing electricity using bulls. Yeah. Some devotees are making the what do you call the machines which can, you know, separate the grain and the husk? Hulling. Yeah, hulling machine. So they are, you know, the bull is walking around, and you know the machine in the center is actually rotating, powered by the bull. So like that. So different things devotees are trying. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
there are efforts from the devotees to move in the right direction, but we cannot claim for anything at this point of time. Yeah. It's a if you consider it, it's a difficult position if you think about that. We are not doing so much in that direction. Maybe some efforts are there, but we are not so much happening in that direction. But in terms of leadership, there is a there is a move towards that. So yeah, we need to wait and see and play our part. Some places, they are making the farm as a model for preaching. So that's a big preaching, because then people can see that something is happening. Some places, devotees are not, they're only accepting protected cow's milk. So that's another way of preaching. So there are different strategies in different places. So. We have to see what we can do. Jai Jagannath Prabhu. On a practical level? Yeah. If you ask individually? Individually, that's why I spoke. Yeah. One thing I can do, I can speak about it. Actually, this is not a joke. Speaking is important. If you ask me currently exactly what I am going to do in the temple, at least I can speak about it. One time, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj said the same thing. We can actually start discussing about these things when it is not in front of the mind of most of the people, then start discussing. So from the words, action can come. So try to understand first. And it is not just the individual, because this is a big thing. It's quite a bit of a change. So need more effort from the leadership. So then we can see more of a change. Yeah, there are different temples having different moves towards that. Some in West and some in India, where things are moving in that direction. It's happening slowly, but it's happening. That's what I'm seeing. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.